ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Question: From Pierre Boyeron. Sounds like an indisputably French name. If you want to put mundane designations, no one is French. No one is Indian. But the name suggests French. Whatever, could be Quebec French, whatever it may be. Anyway, the subject is decisions. And the question goes like this. There's an introduction to it. It seems to me that each one of us directs his life by making choices. Many people are mediocre at this task. Do you know of a formula, a system, a path that guides the searcher in the best way? Whew! That's a small question with tremendous import. A very good observation. Many people are... Well, the point that we all have to direct our life by making choices, but most people are mediocre at this task. Do you know what mediocre means? It means average or worse. Mediocre means in the 30-40% band. Not very good. Often used as a euphemism. Could be, in other words, they could be very bad at it. So this, it's a small question with a big import. Often people ask, can I just ask a small question? But it may be a small question, but there's a very big import behind it. For instance, the question, what is the purpose of life? It's a six-word question, small question. Linguistically, it's a small question, but it's a very big question. It doesn't take long to ask it, but it is the big question. Of course, some people say there is no purpose to life. You have to make the purpose yourself, and so on. So, it's a very important observation, and it is on the basis of this observation that each one of us has to direct his life by making choices that Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna gives knowledge to Arjuna. Well, let's backtrack a bit. First of all, Arjuna makes a decision. He gives his reasoning to Krishna. And then he gives his decision. Nayotsya, I will not fight. Krishna responds by calling him he says this is not fit for you to say like this. Klaibyang ma smagama. The first words he used, klaibyam. He says, you're just like a eunuch. And you're talking to this person who from childhood has been trained as a fighter and is the most famous fighter in the world. And he calls this, you're just talking like a eunuch. Don't be like that. Klaibyam ma smagama parta naita twayu vadyate kshudram hridya daurbalyam tyaktvo tishta parantapa. Just give it up. It's petty. Just give it up. Arjuna isn't convinced, but he realizes that he's also not as convinced as he thought he was, and so he submits to Krishna, and then Krishna starts to explain to him, and the whole of Bhagavad Gita is giving knowledge at the end of, with the purpose of convincing Arjuna that it is best for him to fight. He should fight. He should give up his decision not to fight. And at the end, Krishna asks Arjuna, okay, now, what's your decision? And Arjuna says, yes, now I'm ready. Now my illusion is gone. Nashto moha smritir labdha tvat prasadat maya achyuta. Sthitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Now I'm ready. My illusion is destroyed. I've regained my proper way of thinking. By your mercy, you, Achyuta, who never... Achyuta means he doesn't become bewildered. He knows what's... He always knows what is right. When we don't have that position. Now I'm fixed. All my doubts have gone away, and I'm ready to do what you say. So he took that decision based on knowledge. Decisions are best made on the platform of knowledge. A prudent person, if he has a big decision, an important decision to make, tries to find out what are the pros and cons in this situation. So everyone has to make decisions in the human form of life. The animals, they also make decisions, but they don't have the intelligence, or the capacity to think about it, nor do they have a sense of right and wrong. When we're talking about decisions, we're talking about what is right and wrong. Apart from the moral dimension of right and wrong, is it right to steal? Generally we'd say no. Is it right to steal if by doing so you could save someone's life? There's a medicine which is very expensive, and the pharmaceutist won't give it to you free, and you don't have the money to buy it, and you need to get it quickly, you don't have time to do any fundraising. So is it right to steal in that circumstance? So there's the moral dimension of right and wrong. Sometimes, I'm just giving an example, that sometimes it's arguable that in some cases stealing is right, the right thing to do. But there's also, just is it the appropriate thing to do or the best thing to do? Just like, for instance, if you're sick with a heavy cold, is it, you may decide, should I take an early morning cold bath? If you're accustomed to take an early morning cold bath, so it's not morally right or wrong to do so, but you have to consider for the sake of your health. And then based on the understanding, I have to be healthy so I can perform my activities for the welfare of society. Or you may think, I have to be healthy so I can enjoy this world. But it's not intrinsically a moral platform. Or it may just be that I have $10 extra in my pocket, that I, apart from my necessities, I have $10 extra. What shall I do? Shall I put it in my savings account? Shall I give it in charity? Or shall I buy some ice cream for myself? So these are all different kinds of decisions. These kind of what to do with your $10, or we may not even think of doing of such a thing as giving it in charity. The decision may be, shall I buy ice cream or shall I buy some cigarettes? So these are all decisions that we're faced with. Humans can make such decisions. Animals can do also. They can do so also, but on a much more... Some animals can be trained to make decisions, but on a much more restricted platform of consciousness. For instance, a dog may choose between following the order of his master and chasing after a bitch. Even then, he's probably overcome by lust. But it becomes a, it could be a dilemma for the dog, because if the master tells him, don't go, and the dog understands, stay here. And meanwhile, the dog wants to chase after the bitch in heat. Then the dog may have to make a decision, but it's very restricted. So, on what basis do we make decisions? So this is actually this question is the basis of much philosophy. This question's been asked just for some pragmatic guidance, but underneath it, there's a whole world of philosophy, of understanding. The first thing is to when we're talking about making decisions, we're talking about making a choice between doing something and is choice A better than choice B? Or there may be choice A, B, C, D, E, F, there may be multiple possibilities. Tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor, what will you be? Will you be, when you grow up, what do you want to be? This is the question I used to get asked when I was young. And then, tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor. That's the... Tinker means, I don't know what you'd say in Hindi, it means like a... maybe something like a scavenger, they call in Indian English. Tailor means darji in Hindi and Bengali. I don't know what the Sanskrit word is for tailor. Any idea? What's shuddh Hindi for tailor? Sutradhar, maybe something like some sutradhar. That means a narrator in a play. But it may also mean a tailor, someone who does something with cotton. Tinker, tailor, soldier. Jawan, sainya. And sailor means navik. So, tinker, tailor, soldier, spy. There's a book with that title. So, there may be multiple choices, and that very much affects your whole life. If you decide to be a... you'll go into... so some line, or you become a journalist, your life's going to come out very differently to if you become a doctor, or if you become an actor. So, some decisions can very much affect our life. Who we marry. If we decide to marry, we may decide not to marry. Or we may decide to live with someone, live in relationship without marrying. So it's so many decisions. But they affect our life, and each decision we have to decide what is the best thing. That may be, we may consider what is best for me, what is best for others. Also, a very selfish person will only think what's best for me. A less selfish person will think what's best for others also. And how far their scope of thinking of others develops, well, there may be different levels. They may think of my family, or may think of our community, or our country, or humankind. There's this humanism purports to act for the benefit of the whole human society. It's an atheistic philosophy which has grown out of Christianity, because they don't think of They only think of humans. What about other living beings? Why only humans? Because the Christian idea is that only humans matter. So, and someone coming from a Hindu or Buddhist background who decided to be an atheist, well, Buddhists are already atheists, but if they decided to be moral and try to help others without a specifically religious basis, then they would think of all creatures and not just humans. So in humanism anyway, the idea is that we should act in a way that is beneficial for all. There's a philosophy called utilitarianism, which was proposed by Jeremy Bentham, who said that we should act for the best benefit for everyone. For, by everyone, he meant human beings, and probably English people, because he was English. In those days, in England, non-English weren't considered fully human, and especially anyone with a brown skin would be considered definitely subhuman. Which, now you're laughing, but it was considered like that. In Hitler's Germany, Jews were considered subhuman. They actually spoke and wrote like that. So, how to make a decision for what is the best thing to do? Well, to understand this, we're going to have to understand, first of all, who we are and what is... To understand what is our best self-interest and the best self-interest of... and the best interest, what is in the interest of everyone, so that we can act accordingly, first of all, we're going to have to understand who we are. That makes sense, doesn't it? Nowadays, it's largely accepted that to consider one race better than another is improper. But there was a time, not very long ago, when, like in Nazi Germany, it was considered that the Germans are the best race and therefore they have the right to subjugate others. And that was definitely at the heart of British colonialism and European colonialism. So what is actually the fact? How can we act in the best possible way? Now, someone asked me this question, well, I just wanted to know about, you know, whether I should invest my money in stocks and shares or just... Or should I give it to my mother? In the Western world, no one ever thinks of giving money to their mother. No one. Practically non-existent. What do you think? Does anyone ever think like that? Not so many. I don't think, I never heard of any such thing in my background. In India, people still think like that. In the West, there's no one thinks like that at all, as far as I know. But you are contradicting that. In Slovenia, still, not much. They usually think they have to take from the mother, yeah, that's the general thing. So, who are we? And what is our real best interest? Well, that's why the Bhagavad Gita is so important. Because Krishna, he addresses Arjuna at the level of what is our very being. Now, there are many historical incidents that have been recorded, and there are many novels of people having to make serious decisions. So why is the Bhagavad Gita so important? Arjuna's decision not to fight or not to fight. The Bhagavad Gita is important, and the fact that it's important means that it has been considered important among thinking people since it was spoken 5,000 years ago. And since, well, that was in India, but since the West has come in contact with India, among Western intellectuals, the Bhagavad Gita has been considered very important. And in other cultures also, Buddhism went to China, and Buddhism, although it denies the Gita and the existence of the Atma, it is actually very much based on Vedic philosophy and understanding, and very much on Vedic culture. So the Bhagavad Gita is still considered important, of a different kind of importance than any novel, for instance, which novels, they may center around different decisions that people make. But the Bhagavad Gita is important because it gives us the basis for understanding all our decisions, what we should do. First of all, we have to understand who we are and what is actually for our own self-interest and that of others. Arjuna's decision not to fight was based on, is actually on a religious basis. He was citing dharma, but it was based on and citing shastra and what he'd heard from authorities. Tadanu shushrave, I've heard like this from authorities, Arjuna said. But it was based on a misunderstanding. The misunderstanding that we are meant to enjoy the world. And that is possible even if one understands, even if one accepts that we are Atma, that we are not the body, it's still possible to have the misunderstanding that we're meant to enjoy the world. And Krishna addresses that in the beginning of his speaking to Arjuna, because there are people who accept the Vedic version that the body is temporary and that we get body after body after body, but they take the Vedic inducements to act piously and go to the heavenly planets and enjoy there as being all in all. And they think there's nothing nanyada stiti vadina, there's nothing beyond that in all the Vedas. That, okay, the body is temporary, but you get another one. So if you act piously, then you get another birth. Anyway, you get another birth, but you get a birth in a situation where you can enjoy greatly. So Krishna rejects that. And he says, this is the karmavad, that you act piously and you get a good result. But Krishna says, karmanyeva adhikaraste ma paleshu kadachana. Yes, you have a right to work, but you don't have a right to enjoy the result. He says, you have a right to work, but don't try to enjoy the result. He says that Krishna explains, and this is further explicated in Srimad Bhagavatam, that any decision made on the basis of identification of the body with the self, or the idea, dukhalayam ashashvatam, that we can enjoy in this world, it's all a mistake. We're meant to be happy, but we cannot be happy in this world, on the conditions of this world. So all decisions should be based on knowledge of what is best. Should we have a nuclear power station, or should we have a coal-fired power station? Should we build a hydroelectric plant? Or there are different possibilities. Nuclear, well, it's clean, it's cheap. Well, not clean if the whole thing breaks down. So it seems to be clean, but it's very dangerous. And then you have the radioactive isotopes, which are going to be unclean for some many thousands of years. But so that's a consideration. Cheap, clean, not so clean. Should we have hydroelectric? Well, do we have the capacity for that? And do we have the enough water and the right topography for making a dam for a hydroelectric plant? And what will be the result on the environment in doing so? So there are so many different factors. And then they may say, well, maybe it's best not to have a power plant at all. No one thinks of that one. So there's so many factors in a complex decision. There's the economic factor, how much will it cost, and then can people afford that? Is it actually going to boost our economy, or is it going to be a strain? And then if we have to rely on imported fuels, and that's a political question also, because we become dependent on, we become ingratiated to the countries that are supplying that, and then the countries that are our potential enemies, they may have the ability to cut the power supply, just like there's this plan to bring oil from Iran to India by pipeline through Pakistan. Well, that's a good idea. Just the fact that Pakistan is traditionally the enemy of India, they can cut the power supply at any time, makes it not such a good idea. So what shall we do? Put a pipeline under the sea from Oman. That's more difficult to blow up, but it's also could become an ecological disaster. Anyway, I'm just talking about, I mean, there's so many considerations and how it will affect people. If you make a hydroelectric plant, you're going to destroy so many villages. So many points in every decision. So to make a complex and a serious decision, it should be on the basis of knowledge. It's quite common, this has been adopted in Indian television, adopted from the West, that you're walking on the street, all of a sudden people come from the TV up to you and say, well, what do you think about this and this and that and that? It happened to me once in Puri, on the day after Rathiatra. Some TV crew came up to me and said, well, what do you think of the Westerners not being allowed into the temple? So they go and ask someone, well, do you think we should remain in the European Union or not? And you've got someone who's, they get whatever information they get from the newspapers without any real depth, and they're probably far more interested in the sports section of the newspapers than the economy and the political part. And they say, yeah, well, I think blah, 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 blah. I saw this. I was once working in a Kodak company and with all the workers who were mending boxes, mending pallets. And I saw that among them, the main topic of discussion was football. And if they ever discussed anything else like politics or whatever, they would just say whatever was in the newspaper that morning, whatever opinion the newspaper gave, the Daily Mirror. They mostly read the Daily Mirror, which is for the Labour Party supporters. One day, we used to get it at school. So one day, it was election day, and it said right out, on the whole of the front page said, go out and vote Labour, in helping people to make decisions. So most people, they don't even think for themselves. They just do whatever they're told to do. They don't think very deeply. So we should think deeply if we're going to make serious decisions. And the most serious decision is, well, who are we and how do we conduct our life? And most people never think about this. They just go along with whatever everyone else is doing. Almost everyone in India, for instance, thinks that, well, you've got to send your children for higher education so they can get a better job and a better life. But they never thought very deeply about what a better job or a better life means. They just presume that if you become an engineer, then that's good. And if you're sweeping the roads, because you don't have any degree and you're just sweeping the roads, that's not good. They just presume. And they don't think about it very deeply. And what to speak of, the fact, the overwhelming fact, which hardly anyone thinks about, is we're going to die. And what happens after that? We make decisions which affect our future. Okay, you have to go. Couldn't get in medical college? Okay, get into engineering college. So that I can get a better future. I have to study and work hard to get a better future. But better future, okay, better future. All right, you study in engineering college for 4 years whatsoever. You try to get a job. You get a job! Ah, I got a job! Then you're an engineer for maybe 40 years or so. Then you retire. Then what do you do? Well, what do you do? Well, watch TV. What else is there to do? Then after that, you die. And then after that, boom, they never thought. They don't think. So people should think. They should consider. We're thinking so much about our future, making decisions for our future, but it doesn't end when this body ends. We continue to exist. Now you may say, well, I don't know that. It may be true or may not be true. But considering that, there is much evidence that it is true, even if you want to take it from the scientific point of view. Of course, orthodox science doesn't even like to think about this question. But it has been examined in a scientific way, and there is very good evidence that we do continue to exist. So, we should consider our future and make base our life not just on this little life, which will be finished in a few years, just like that, the life goes. Kshanik, boom, life is over. How old are you, sir? How old is your body? This present body that you're in? Aapka umar kitna hai? Aapna umar kya hai? Means you're 57. Diamond Jubilee means 60, isn't it? Oh, retirement. I heard diamond. 57. Okay. Same age as me. Isn't it? Almost. I'm almost 57. 58 is the retirement age in your company. Are you in BHEL by any chance? Are you in BHEL?
No, I'm in Punjab.
I see. All right. So, more or less the same age as me in this life. So, my experience or my way of thinking is that it just seems a short time ago when I was a young man like these young men here, and life has just gone like that. Do you feel the same thing? It's going to be over soon. We don't have much time. So, we should get the knowledge to understand who we actually are, and on that basis decide how to conduct our life. But most people, the vast majority of people, don't do so. Which is actually very foolish. For instance, if you somehow or other someone suddenly got a crore of rupees, which is more than probably most or anyone here possesses. Somehow you get a crore of rupees, you win, you go on TV, Konbanega Crorepati, and you win a crore of rupees. And then the government takes away a lot of it, but you still have a lot of money. Then you have to decide how to do it, what to do with it. It's a big decision. What to do with the 60 lakhs or whatever after the government's taken away so much of it. So, you should think very seriously about it, isn't it? It's a very serious thing. How to use that what for you is a large amount of money. It might not be a large amount of money for someone whose surname is Bila or Tata. Well, even for them, they don't throw crores around. They're very careful in what they're doing with their thousands of crores. So, you'd think about it very carefully, and you'd probably try to get some expert advice if you're intelligent. But with our life, which is a much more important decision than how to spend money, what are we doing? What is the whole direction of our life? Most people never really think about it very deeply at all. Isn't that amazingly foolish? Everyone else goes to school, so I'll go to school. Everyone else goes to college. Everyone else does this and does that, so we just follow the crowd. Gada galekanya, just like a sheep, one animal follows another. So Krishna gives the knowledge of how we should lead our life, and particularly in what consciousness we should lead our life. We should understand who we are and what our best self-interest is. So to make a long story short, the message of Bhagavad Gita is that we are all eternal spirit soul, and our best interest is in understanding Krishna and serving Krishna. And in that way, we'll go to Krishna in the spiritual world. Otherwise, we have to get born again and again and again. And contrary to what the Vedavadarata, those who are attached to the Yamimang Pushpitang Vacham, those who are attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, contrary to what they say and think, life in this material world is miserable, so it makes sense to get out of it. So, life should be molded on this formula. What is the formula that guides the searcher in the best way? Well, get clear knowledge of who we are, what we are. That should be there. I've recently been looking at some... Oh, that's another big discussion. I'll have to get into that some other time. Existentialist philosophers, who their whole thing is about what does it mean to be? But they only define it in terms of their human experience. Great philosophers, but they don't think to first of all understand. To be is the big thing, but who are we? They don't even, that question, that should come before the question of what does it mean to be? Who are we? But that they miss, and they just presume the self to be the human experience, to be a human. So... this should be understood first of all. And on the basis of that, what is the formula for making decisions? For everything we do, there is a formula. It is anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. To do everything favorable and to reject everything unfavorable. And actually everyone does that, whether they're a devotee or not. But it just... They decide what to do considering, is this favorable or is this unfavorable? But they do it on the basis of what their worldview is. If they consider that the purpose of my life is to enjoy my senses to the max, then they make their decision what to do and what not to do on that. What is favorable for that I should do, what is unfavorable for that I shouldn't do. But a devotee does it on the basis, how will this increase my consciousness? And I should do that. If something's favorable for promoting my Krishna consciousness, I should do it. If it's unfavorable, I should not do it. And we learn that from scripture. And with the ultimate understanding that smartavya satatam Vishnu, vismartavya najatuchit. One should always think of Vishnu and never forget him. So that is the basis of making all decisions. Now, within that broad category, there may be many other decisions also, how to serve Krishna. And we get broad and in some cases detailed guidelines from Shastra and from our acharyas and our Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. But still there may be many decisions to make. Just like, for instance, here in this city, someone may offer some land at a very cheap price. Should we take it? Or should we not? We have to see is what can we do with the land? It may be cheap, but then it may be in a not very good situation, a long way from any road, you have to build a road, it may be in land that floods, it may be next to a graveyard, burning, where they burn the dead bodies. In Tokyo, we have our rented, I think they purchased it now, we have our temple in an apartment, which is just next to the burning crematorium. So, or most of the time you have all this smell of smoke coming from the bodies being burned, so that's not very nice. So you have to make a decision. And you may think, well, on the other hand, it is cheap and this, that. There's so many decisions you have to make, and some people are better at making them than others. Who is someone who's better at making decisions? Well, a decision like this, you have the opportunity to think about it. And one should not be pressured. Sometimes the donor wants to pressure you. You have to take it. They may have some reason that they want you to take it because they have some other land nearby which they think if ISKCON has a temple, you build a... I'm not saying this in relation to the donor here, but they... Sometimes builders, they want to offer some land to ISKCON with the idea that if there's an ISKCON temple, then the properties that they build all around will appreciate in value. And so it's good for them to give the land to ISKCON because overall they'll make more profit. So a good decision maker is not swayed by others pressurizing him. He may be swayed by he may do something to please others, not that he's completely cold. He makes informed choices. He doesn't just act whimsically. But many times you may have to make a decision. You don't have the time to think what to do. Just like there's a fire. What are you going to do? Are you going to run away? Are you going to go and try and fight the fire? Oh, here's another example. There's in Belgium just a few years ago, there was a devotee saw someone mugging someone, holding a knife to them and taking their money. So the devotee valiantly went to attack that mugger and got himself so badly slashed that he almost died. He had to be taken to hospital in pools of blood. And still the mugger got away with the money. So it was an on-the-spot decision. He didn't have time to sit and think about it. He did it on the spot. Something came up a few years ago. It was a famous became a big national, a big issue in America that on the subway in New York there were three muggers who said to him, muggers means they come up to you and say, "Hey, give us your money, or we'll beat you up, or we'll stab you." So he pulled out a gun and shot one of the kids. The boy is about 17 years old, something like that. So it became a big issue because he shot. He shot them, which you're not supposed to do that. Maybe by New York law you're not supposed to. It was illegal, but on the other hand, many people supported him. So it's an on-the-spot decision. Or maybe he had decided in advance, but even that if anyone tries to mug me, I'll pull out the gun. But even then, at the moment, he had to make the decision. So who can make a wise decision in such instances? And there may be much, much smaller decisions which you have to make on the spur of the moment. For instance, if you're in the supermarket and you have to choose between buying some fancy, expensive food or which you'd like to give your children, or something which is cheaper and you can give them more and it's more nourishing, something like that. So you may not have time to, you don't have time to sit around and think about it so much. Who can decide best in quick decisions is someone who is on the whole thoughtful, who thinks more deeply, most people, who is informed, which is one reason why it's considered a virtue among more intellectual people to be well informed, to know what's going on in the world, to read newspapers like the New York Times or whatever, which gives you information on many different subjects which are considered relevant to life, so that people can make decisions. Now, of course, although we may think that we're making our own decisions, and there's this idea that we're in a free society where we make our own decisions, actually it's clear that we are very much influenced by what others say and how others people try to influence us, particularly through the media, the TV, the internet, the newspapers. There are many examples of this, how the way people think is changed by campaigns to do so. For instance, all over the world, pretty much, it was until fairly recently, abortion was considered sinful. Now, in many parts of the world, it's considered acceptable. Here in India, at least among Hindus, it was considered a great sin. But now, no, I think people just think, well, just completely normal to go for abortions. Here in India, until very recently, it was considered wrong that young unmarried boys and girls should live together, live in relationship. But the TV has shown it and promoted it, and now it's considered okay, normal. So we may think that we are free to make our own decisions, but people are very much influenced by the messages that we get from the press and the TV and all this. I mean, there's so many examples of this. Again, homosexuality was widely considered something very wrong. Now it's considered wrong to think it's wrong in much of the world. Because there's a campaign by homosexuals, to change the perception of people in general toward them. So we're not free. That's another part of existentialism, this Jean-Paul Sartre. You may not have heard his name, but very influential in how people in the modern world think, even here in India, because all Western ideas are coming here. So the idea that we have to make our own reality, don't be influenced by anything anyone has said in the past, or don't accept any influences on you, just make yourself who you are. But that's not part. I mean, even he himself, in saying that, is influencing the way we think. Srila Prabhupada pointed that out, that there are people who say, don't have anyone as your guru. This Krishnamurti, this philosopher. Don't read any books. It's in his book. It says, don't read any books. Don't accept any books. Don't have anyone as your guru. But by telling you that, he's giving you instruction. He's becoming your guru. So we are influenced. We don't live in a vacuum. We are influenced. And in the modern world, there are so many influences, it can be very confusing. We have to choose who we listen to. In traditional societies, are usually monocultural. That means everyone has the same outlook and the same way of thinking, more or less. Just like here in India, everyone, although the word Hindu wasn't there, but everyone, they were Hindu. They were following the Shastra. Well, even then, there were the outside the Varnashram, there were the Chandalas. But there was one culture. But then later, Buddhism, Charvak, Jains, Buddhists. But even they operated within the broader scope of what we could call Indian culture. Then the Muslims came and they'd altered the. And even here in India, in Bhopal is a great example, because they're Muslims and they're Hindus. There's large populations of both. And the Muslims' culture and way of thinking, although in many ways it's similar to that of the Hindus, in many ways it's very different also. So we are influenced by various cultures, and it's not so much a matter of choosing what we want to do ourselves as choosing who we identify with and who we listen to and which values we accept. We might say that, well, I'm just thinking freely, but we're very limited by our economic situation. We may say, well, I want to be free, but okay, how free can you be? You have to do some work to earn some money so that you can live. Otherwise, you can beg, but you can be in a miserable situation, or you can take some money from the government, but then you have a very limited amount of things you can do because you only have very little money. So, yeah, in traditional societies, there wasn't so much decision taking to make. And people weren't so confused, because the outlook of people was the same. It was just accepted that everyone thinks in the same way. Whether they were Christians in medieval England, of course, England became divided by the Catholic-Protestant question also, and more so Ireland and Scotland, but... Well, let's say pre-Henry VIII's England, everyone, I mean, there are disagreements on political, in the higher levels, there were political disagreements, but everyone had the same outlook on life, more or less. Before the benefits of modern civilization came to Africa with the Westerns coming, speaking here with tongue-in-cheek, there'd be different tribes, and within the tribe, of course that term tribe, it's a very denigrating kind of term, but different groups of people living, and you're born into that culture and you don't think very much about, you just go along with it and you do what everyone else does, and there are not that many decisions to make in a traditional society. Society is not very complex. In traditional societies, mostly people would be, some people would be born in a richer, more powerful families. Some people would be born in poorer families, and there wasn't much social mobility. And there were, so there weren't many decisions to make. There's no decisions whether you're going to be a tinker, a tailor, a soldier, or a sailor. If your father's a tailor, you're a tailor. If your father's a potter, you're a potter. And you don't even decide, in Indian culture, you don't decide who you marry. It's decided for you. Actually, that was there in the West also. In Ireland, it was there till recently, till fairly recently. They've forgotten it, all about it now. But you couldn't marry without the permission of your parents. So there weren't many decisions to make. The Kshatriyas, the rulers, they would have to make some decisions. But if there's some political unrest, how to deal, in politics, there's always someone trying to come up and someone trying to push you down, so they may have to make some decision. They'd be guided by brahmanas who themselves wouldn't get directly involved so much, but they would also, but they'd have to decide how to advise the king on various issues. But in times of peace, there may not be so much decision-making. The Vaishyas, not much decisions. That they might decide this year to, in this area, to plant this crop based on the weather conditions. But mostly the weather conditions were very predictable also. Shudras also, hardly any, not much decision-making at all. They were ordered what to do with their life. Which in the modern age, people think that's very bad. You've got to have your freedom. But freedom means you have to make many decisions. And actually people get confused and it's very stressful. And as Pierre points out here, most people are mediocre at this task. And actually, that's one reason why people, they can be manipulated. Because they are mediocre at making decisions. And they don't think very deeply, and so they get their thinking done for them by the mass media or the schools or the whole culture that they live in, and they don't even realize it. And they think they have the freedom. You have the freedom to play cricket or soccer or basketball, or there are some freedoms there. You can say different freedoms, but at the end of it, there's no freedom to decide not to die. There's some things, we're not free from disease, we're not free from old age, we're not free from death. So whether you play football or basketball or tiddlywinks or whatever you play, at the end you have to die. So this freedom and so many decisions you can make, but it actually detracts from the real purpose of life, which is to become free from birth and death, to live our life in such a way that we become free from birth and death. So in traditional societies, people don't have so much decision-making, and although in the modern age it's considered very bad, you should have your own freedom to make yourself what you are. But we see that people become very stressed because of this. And often people make very wrong decisions, and what to do with their life. They marry someone and it turns out to be a disaster. for instance. Or because they have the freedom to choose to drink alcohol, they become an alcoholic. Very common. Their life is spoiled by that. And that people are mediocre in making decisions gives rise to a whole advertising industry in which different things are advertised. Buy this, buy that. And it's not on the basis of intelligence. They show some car. This car will make you very prestigious. That's the implication. It's not a very intelligent decision to buy a car on. There are consumer groups who they analyze all the different new cars on the basis of all its different. Its speed, 0 to 90 kilometers per hour in 10 seconds or whatever. Its predicted durability, how safe it is, and all this kind of thing. But most people, they don't think. And the advertising industry takes advantage of that to influence people to buy all kinds of things which, if they decided intelligently, they'd never buy. And the standard example of that, which I always give, is Coca-Cola. If you actually thought about it, then why should you ever buy Coca-Cola? What's the value in it? They promote it on TV or whatever, that it'll make you happy, you'll have fun, but there's no fun in drinking Coca-Cola. So it just proves that people are mediocre and stupid, actually, and very poor in making decisions. So, how to make better decisions? One's going to have to get an overall view of life. To negotiate our way through this extremely confused society in which there are so many things you can do. So many things. In the modern cities, they give choice of so many things to do in the Western world. Places like London and Paris and New York and Sydney, they're considered great cities because there are so many things you can do. There are magazines. I think they have that in Delhi now, Time Out. It's a magazine which is published in New York and London, and it just, you can just buy it, and it just tells you all the things you can do in the city for 1 week. Because every day within one city there'll be different concerts or all different kinds of music, different sports events, and then different, just so many different exhibitions at art galleries, and then opening of a new shopping complex. And there's a whole magazine published every week of all the different things you can do. And then they recommend this restaurant and that restaurant and this and that. And so many things you can do. How to negotiate your way through it all? Well, we in Krishna consciousness have made the decision that pravrittiṃ sarva-bhūtānaṃ, pravrittiṃ sarva-bhūtānaṃ nivrittiṃ tu mahāphalam, that the path of enjoying life, everyone follows that, but there's great result is to be had by not indulging in all that. In other words, we're not going to go to the... Oh, that's another thing they have on the Time Out cinema, or what's in the cinema. We're not going to go to the cinema. We're not going to watch the TV. We're not going to go to this restaurant. We're not going to this restaurant, that restaurant. We're not going to watch this sports event, this, that, or the other. We've just decided to try to satisfy Krishna. So that's our decision, on the basis of which all other decisions follow. So that's the really important decision. And if you make that decision, then even in our life, if we do make some wrong decisions, everything will come out right at the end. And we can't, it's very difficult to avoid making wrong decisions because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And even if we make some informed decision, for instance, if we're thinking of buying a safe car and we have enough money to buy a Volvo, then we should do. I don't think you get Volvos in India, but they're supposed to be very safe cars. So if we're thinking about the safety of our family, we might, if that's the major point in purchasing a car, then we, if it's not the speed or the, whatever any other factors may be, and we can afford it because they're expensive cars, then we may decide to buy a Volvo. But we can never, by being informed we can make better decisions, but we can never tell what's, for instance, we don't know if the information we've got is completely correct, or if it's complete, if all factors have been considered, and other things can happen which we never thought of. That's why we hear the term pros and cons. Should we do this or should we do this? If we do this, there'll be this advantage and this advantage, but there'll be this disadvantage and this disadvantage. If we do that, there's this advantage and this, different kinds of advantages and disadvantages. So it can be very difficult to know, and no one can be correct all the time. There's the factor of daiva, which means fate, which is often called luck, kismat in Urdu. That you may say someone's good at making decisions, it may be just their luck, and someone else has bad luck. You never know, you can't say what's going to happen in future. So that's why in making decisions, maybe a good decision or bad decision, we can only find out later on whether it's a good decision or a bad decision. And the result may be mixed, somewhat good and somewhat bad. But if on the whole we dedicate our life to Krishna, that is the best decision. And that's the really important decision. More than what kind of car we should drive. But within that, we should exercise some worldly wisdom also. Just like, for instance, I think that some of you now, having had some experience in this regard, if, for instance, you were going to drive from Jamnagar to Dwarka, and you're all very tired, you might think to take some rest before you drive because you had the experience that you were very tired and you drove anyway, and I don't know who was driving, but you fell asleep and you're all lucky to be alive and the vehicle is destroyed. Lucky means Krishna saved you. But I don't think that you will, at least you'll think very carefully before driving if you're tired now. Isn't it? I don't know, because Maya is such that we always think it won't happen to me. When I go in a car, I always put on the safety belt. What's it called? Seat belt. And many, they don't like to do it. They say, no, you don't need to do that. Because I've been driving for 40 years, I never had an accident. So that proves that there can't be an, it's a stupid way of thinking. No one goes out in the morning and gets in their car and thinks, today I'm going to have an accident. And every day thousands of people do. People think, because I never had an accident, that means I can never have an accident. I'm invincible. Maya influences us like that. But an accident is possible at any time. It's actually extremely dangerous to get in. If it's not a Volvo, then it's probably just like this Maruti van, for instance, just like some little tin can which is hurtling along at a fast speed, and if it goes off course or hits something, then you're in a very dangerous situation, being sitting inside it, especially in the front. There's no engine in front to cushion the impact. So, how did I get here? Make a decision. Then that should be based on some... even if we're devotees and we're trying to serve Krishna and our ultimate purpose of life is very hopeful, it's the best decision we should make, we could make, still we have to exercise some worldly wisdom also. Not think, well, Krishna will look after us, so I don't have to bother following any traffic rules. I can drive on the wrong side of the road at 120 kilometers an hour, and it doesn't matter because Krishna's looking after us. You know, Krishna's looking after us by giving us the intelligence to decide whether to drive in a relatively safe way or to drive in a foolish manner in which we're much more likely to get in an accident. So some wisdom should come with experience, and we can also learn by hearing from others, even on the worldly platform. Srila Prabhupada often quoted Charnakya Niti, which is worldly wisdom. It's got nothing directly to do with Krishna consciousness. But there are many points we can learn from Charnakya Niti, from Vidur Niti, how to deal with people, from Hitopadesh, which is not really for Vaishnavas, it's meant for princes, for Kshatriyas. But it's useful also for living in this world, so we can take advice from others. Another important point is to be under the guidance of others and to take advice from others, especially in very important decisions. We should be under the guidance. In Indian culture, Vedic culture, one should be under the guidance of guru. Guru means there's the spiritual guru, there are also the elders, parents and other elders who are supposed to guide us. Of course, the parents may not always be the best guides if they don't know the spiritual purpose of life. That's also a consideration. Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad made a good decision he did take his instruction to go to school, but then he didn't take seriously what was taught in the school. And he didn't agree with Hiranyakashipu about the purpose of life. There's spiritual guru, then there may be... it may be that the guru is not always present to guide. And it may be also... Another point is that the guru might not be the best person to consult to make some decision on non-spiritual matters. For instance, if you want to purchase a computer and software packages, of course, in India no one buys software packages, but just talking theoretically here, for your center here, I'm your guru, but I wouldn't be the best person to consult. You'd better consult someone who knows about computers. Or if you're to purchase a vehicle, you might ask me, what do you think, and this and that, based on, and then I'd ask you, well, what do the experts say? And the experts probably say all different things. But I wouldn't be the person to consult. If one of you gets sick, then you can consult a doctor, better than consult me. I'm not a doctor. Although I do have some experience of basic illnesses and how to deal with them, which most people in this world, when they're 50 plus, they've been through all the basic illnesses, either themselves or someone they've been around. So obviously some intelligence is required. And ultimately intelligence comes from Krishna. So sometimes we have to pray. Sometimes things are very confusing. I know several instances devotees have told me that they've prayed to Krishna, please show me Guru, who should I approach? And Krishna answered. It became, what happened to them shortly after that, it was clear that Krishna was answering them. So, you know, ultimately we should look to Krishna for guidance. Krishna also gives guidance through Shastra, through people, learned, intelligent, and wise people. Krishna also manifests as the intelligence of learning of people even in secular fields, just like, for instance, computer science and medicine. So we can take advantage of that. And also we can understand that we won't always make the right decision in every case. That's inevitable. So what is the formula? There's no... Well, that's the best formula, is to take shelter of Krishna. That's the best. This is the decision that we should all make. Or at least, I mean, if we're not ready to accept that, at least this much, atato brahma jignasa, at least we should come to this level of inquiring about what is the ultimate purpose of life and be very serious to find an answer to it. We are convinced that the answer is to surrender to Krishna, but at least you should make that decision to inquire about this and to make that the goal of your life, and not just float through life like a twig floating down the stream, carried away by the stream. So, it is a very confusing age because there are so many possibilities. That's one reason why it's very confusing, and so many people are saying so many things. So try to find the essence of everything. What is the essence? Different people will say different things. Some people will say there is no essence. It's just all chemicals and bhasmi bhutasya dehasya. This body will simply be burned, king puna agamana obhavet, and then that's it, all finished. Some people say that. Others will say so many things. They say, Jesus, you have to believe in Jesus, otherwise you burn in hell forever. Jesus loves you. If you don't love him, then he burns you in hell forever. No chance of ever coming back. So some people say that. So many people are saying so many things. We have come to this conclusion. Love is the essence. What is the essence? Love. Krishna is prema swarupa. He's the very form of love. Krishna is the center of all love. So we, being guided, not just by our own wandering in the dark, we've accepted the guidance by which we've come to accept that Krishna consciousness is the... To take to Krishna consciousness is the best decision you can make. But at least think. You're talking about making decisions means you have to think. So that's the main one. Otherwise, decisions are what to do in certain circumstances. We have to be thoughtful and intelligent. It's very difficult when we get so much misinformation also. We often make the wrong decisions. I am one of many millions of people who spent most of my life trying to avoid sunshine because we got the information that going in the sun puts you in danger of getting skin cancer. What's that called? Melanoma? And later on it came, now the information's come out that far greater than the danger of that is the danger of osteoporosis, which comes from not going in the sun. So you should go in the sun. So I made the decision to avoid the sun based on all this propaganda. It's very dangerous to go in the sun. I should have followed the Indian culture, which says a little sun in the morning is good, not after it gets too hot. So that's also very confusing. You may get wrong information. What can we do? We may do the best we can. And if we surrender our life to Krishna, then, what is that? Mat prasada tarishyati. Atachet sarva durgani mat prasada tarishyati. All these troubles will conquer, will cross over them by the grace of Krishna. Yesterday that question came also, similar question. Should we spend more time cleaning or should we not be so concerned with it and just go on book distribution? So who's to say? Well, ultimately the temple authority has to say, in a temple community. Okay, we're way over time, but I thought I'd speak more about that. It's a lot more. I mean, the basis of a whole. It is, in fact, the basis of all different philosophies. The question of decision making. So it could be spoken on much, much more. But there are just a few thoughts for now. When there's some bigger decision, it's better to stop and think and maybe discuss with others when there's a bigger decision to be made. Not just make it by ourselves, because there may be factors that we don't see. Others may consider them also. Other people may have different perspectives on an issue that we don't have. So if there's some major decision, it's good to discuss with others. I have to decide all kinds of things all the time which affect people's lives. And I often discuss with them and with others about that. And I often throw it back to them. I say, well, there's this, 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 and this you have to consider. Now you decide, as Krishna did with Arjuna. Okay. Should I take any questions or should I? No? Yes? No? Yeah. In traditional society, people had less opportunities to make decisions, and there are much less decisions to make. Just like, for instance, if there's no supermarket, then you don't have the choice of all different kinds of foods to buy. There are only the foods that you produce locally, that's all there is. And maybe a few things which are imported, like salt in most places would have to be imported. Imported means not necessarily from another country, but from another area. But if you're in a rice-growing area, then probably the only grain you're going to eat is rice, and you don't have a choice to eat other grains, for instance. And you don't have a choice of going to this cinema or that cinema or what to watch on TV, because you don't have these things. And any entertainment or there would be group activity. For instance, after sunset, villagers traditionally in India, they would come together and hear Ram Katha, or they'd have kirtan, and it'd be a group activity. So you can't, that would be, usually that would be traditional, and there wouldn't be a choice about, well, why don't we all do breakdancing instead? There's no choice. I mean, first out, you never heard of breakdancing, you don't know how to do it. And, well, that's what everyone does, so that's what you do. And actually, people who live simple lives without much decision, in one way you could say they're very culturally restricted, but in other ways, that's my experience, they're usually happier and saner. They don't have so many different complexes, mental complexes. Yeah, so what was the, did you finish your question? In distributing books, understanding body language is very important. You can predict if the person is going to take it by his body language. You can understand by the body language. Maybe you can, I don't know. Often we find in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, although it's a long time since I've done it on a regular basis, but often we find that Krishna inspires people who we think are not going to take it. So, body language might be a factor also. But I wouldn't worry too much about it. I'd just pray to Krishna. Pray to Krishna to inspire them to take the books. So, Hare Krishna.